China, of course, was an enemy during the Cold War, and that's when some employees were required to take loyalty oaths swearing to defend the U.S. And in this state of California, the Constitution's against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, a professor here in California has lost her job because she refused to sign one of those Cold War-era loyalty oaths. The lifelong pacifist isn't the only one. Over the years, several other aspiring public employees in California have been fired for doing the same thing. From member station KQED, Rob Schmitz reports.
Your first day at a job usually isn't the day you want to start rocking the boat. But Wendy Gonover felt she had no other choice. It was orientation day last autumn. Gonover had just been hired as an adjunct professor at California State University, Fullerton. Sitting in a room full of new hires, Gonover listened to the orientation leader tell them they were required to sign the state's loyalty oath.
She asked at one point any questions, and I raised my hand, and I said, well, what kind of exceptions do you make for religious minorities? She said, none. And I just blurted out, I can't sign the oath. And then there was kind of a hush in the room with people looking at me, and I felt very kind of uncomfortable.
Gonover is a PhD candidate in American Studies, and she knows the U.S. Constitution inside and out. She says forcing employees to sign an oath to defend the Constitution is, well, unconstitutional. But Gonover's rejection went beyond her role as a constitutional scholar. As a practicing Quaker and pacifist, Gonover says she could not sign an oath requiring her to, quote, defend the U.S. and state constitutions against enemies, foreign and domestic.
The combination of the word defend with enemies seems to me to be a statement in favor of a military defense, even if you yourself aren't participating in it.
Gonover offered to sign the oath as long as she could include an attachment expressing her opinion that the oath violated her First Amendment rights to freedom of religion and speech. Officials at California State University rejected that, and Gonover was out of a job. In a statement to NPR, CSU spokeswoman Clara Potts Fellow said CSU must follow the state law that says all employees are required to sign the oath. And because Gonover's addendum negated the oath, CSU was forced to fire her.
We work with them, we meet and confer with them, and we try to work out whatever issues they have so that they can sign it.
That's California Assistant Attorney General Jacob Applesmith. He has the unenviable job of helping the public interpret an oath written during the height of the Cold War. In the 1950s, loyalty oaths were added to the constitutions of many states. The idea was to prevent communists from infiltrating local government. Applesmith says nowadays the oath should not be interpreted as a call to arms, rather an agreement to abide by the laws of state and country.
If someone wants to specify that they cannot engage in acts of physical violence, that's fine.
Through the years, the oath has stood up against constitutional challenges in court. In one decision, personal statements accompanying the oath were allowed as long as they didn't negate the meaning of the oath. But for some, there's a principle at stake. Take Bud Tillinghast, for example. In 1995, Humboldt State University gave the Methodist minister 30 days to sign the oath. He refused. On the 31st day, he was in the middle of teaching a class on world religion.
It ended up where I was escorted from the classroom by a couple of campus police because I wouldn't sign the loyalty oath.
Currently, almost all 2.3 million public employees in California are required to sign the oath as long as they're U.S. citizens, no matter what kind of job they have. When Lynn Fiume wanted to volunteer for the Botanic Gardens at University of California, Riverside, she discovered she had to sign the oath, too.
I remember asking the director, I said, really? You really make people sign this so they can pull weeds?
Since you've been pulling weeds, have any enemies, foreign or domestic, approached you?
No. It was funny that my first thought when I was reading it, one of my thoughts was all of us up there with our little trowels defending the Botanic Gardens against some kind of, you know, invading presence. So on the one hand, I was sort of laughing. It seemed so absurd. And on the other hand, I thought it was sort of offensive.
In the end, says Fiume, she decided to sign it, deciding the whole thing was rather silly. That's not the conclusion that Wendy Gonover and her lawyers reached. They think this is a serious constitutional issue that needs to be resolved. They've been in talks with CSU officials on a compromise. They say they're hopeful Gonover will soon win her job back. For NPR News, I'm Rob Schmitz in Los Angeles.